From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Marketing Matters on Business Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my guest co-host today, Annie Wilson. She's been here before. She's a behavioral scientist and a professor of marketing at the Wharton School. And we're delighted to talk to Charlie Tinsel, who's the North America president of Ogilvy PR Social at PR, Social, and Influence, and Adam Kornblum, who's the global chief creator or creative at L'Oreal. And they're here to talk, among other things, about their wonderful Super Bowl ad for CeraVe and that whole campaign. So before we get into all of that, because that was clearly a home run, and what was going on with that ad and with that campaign, first tell us how you know each other, how you work together, maybe a little bit of history of this partnership. Charlie, you want to start?
I can. Adam tells this story well, though, I'll say. Adam and I, we go back. He was at Ogilvy before he was at L'Oreal.
Well, Adam, she handed you the mic, so.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I joined L'Oreal, specifically CeraVe, 5.5 years ago. And before that, spent many years at Ogilvy. And Charlie and I worked together on, like, you know, social media, PR, paid media. So really, like, grew up together with the same learning. And this made total sense, you know, Michael CeraVe and our immersive storytelling, because this is actually how we were trained to market.
Okay, so tell us now about this. So both of you were both like traditional advertising. Ogilvy is more of a traditional advertising firm, but I assume it's changed with the times. Like, I was wondering, are there such things as traditional advertising firms left anymore? They've changed into social or creative or branding. Or when you said you know each other, what are the kinds of things that you were talking about? You know, that you were talking, you said you had similar kind of skills and similar conversation with each other. What exactly were you talking about coming from this ad agency world?
Yeah, no, I think that's actually what's interesting about Adam and my connection, because I'd say we come from a pretty untraditional background, though we were trained at Ogilvy. You know, we are sort of full service marketing and comms, but Adam and I really came up in digital and in social and in earned first. And that's really our training. So as opposed to sort of that advertising background. And I think we really brought that sort of approach to the Michael CeraVe campaign and really, you know, created an experience that you could participate in for the 3-4 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. The commercial was really sort of the culmination and the end of our story, but what we built was sort of an immersive experience. And I think our untraditional backgrounds really sort of led to that.
Okay, so we're gonna unpack all of this. Let me just set this up before we get into all the campaign. Andy, you said a question before air, you know, which I think was really interesting, and I wanted you to hold it to air, but you asked it before. So let's start with the question you asked, and then take it from there. What you asked right before we started.
Yeah, so my question was really about, obviously there's more than one intention here behind the marketing goals of the campaign, but I was curious about whether part of the goal of using Michael CeraVe in the campaign was to increase the name brand awareness and also understanding of how it's pronounced, and so that it's more top of mind. It reminded me of the Michael Bublé ad for Bubbly and them coming out and linking with a really likable celebrity who's kind of doing something also a little pranksterish and changing the cans to say Bublé instead of Bubbly. So I was just curious about that, particularly given it seemed geared toward a younger audience who may not know the brand name as well as older audiences.
Yeah, so I think definitely addressing the way people say it, for sure. But, you know, as far as Super Bowl goes, you need people to remember the brand name. So Michael CeraVe really, like, obviously makes total sense, you know, especially for brand recall. And what we found and the thinking was, you know, CeraVe is a brand developer dermatologist. a brand that has been developed with ceramides. So you have ceramides, you know, ceramides are an ingredient. And in the logo in CeraVe, it says developed with dermatologists. So we really wanted to hammer this point home, because what we're seeing with a lot of different brands and products is they're starting to use this verbiage in their marketing material. But for us, it's actually in the DNA of the brand, like literally in the logo. So it's like, okay, like how do we really enforce this? Well, if we create a world where Michael Cera is maybe claiming that he developed this brand, you know, then we can spend a bit of time with dermatologists really refuting, you know, this fake fact.
So I assume you came up with this idea in your head. You just made this up. This was like a clever idea. And then you had to go get Michael Cera to agree. Is that what happened? Or maybe he came to you and said, look, my name's so similar to the brand. Why don't you use me and pay me a bunch of money? I doubt it worked that way. But exactly how'd you get him involved?
Maybe I can take this one. Adam gave us the opportunity to sort of pitch a couple ideas to him, you know, he gave us sort of the objective to translate their immense relevance with a younger generation and their success in sort of social media, and then translate that into becoming more of a cultural icon on the biggest stage in America. And of course, reaching a far wider audience for a product that is really for everybody. And so, you know, when we were looking for inspiration for our idea, we do what we always do, which is turn to social listening for intelligence, for insights, for inspiration. And we actually, in that research, found a couple Reddit threads sort of years deep where a couple people surmised, hey, is there a connection between Michael Cera and CeraVe? And, you know, they were kidding, and we came across it and we just saw the potential of it and got really excited and brought it to Adam and the team with a couple other ideas, but he honed immediately in on this one. I think for what you brought up, Annie, sort of the inherent connection between the idea and the brand and the product. So that's where the unlock came from, was actually in social listening.
And he was very receptive right away when you asked him to participate?
Yes, he was, because he hasn't done a lot of branding engagement work. So that was certainly a concern. Of course, the idea completely hinged on his participation, but he really loved the idea. Ironically, he doesn't have social media channels. He doesn't even use a smartphone. And a lot of times when you bring on, you know, celebrities on board, particularly to Super Bowl commercials, you're also, you know, signing up to the distribution of their social media channels. And obviously that didn't come with this, but he was really enthusiastic about being a part of this and really understood the unique vision that we had.
So I see also, I mean, I love how you created the world leading up to it and all the speculation among influencers. And then I know you had some after the Super Bowl too, and you had some, if I remember correctly, videos playing on the trope of the influencer apology videos as well. I guess I'm curious how you saw consumers react to this campaign in terms of their engagement. How did you kind of measure that engagement, or what did you observe and react to?
Yeah, that, and let me just add to that, because that's a really interesting question, because in hindsight and how successful it was a home run. But it could have backfired. You know, people could have thought it's ludicrous, it's not. So and you have such big plans for it, like go all the way up to the Super Bowl. That's not like a small little plan. So how did you know as you went along that it was taking? How did you measure? How did you know that it was working the way you wanted to? Because it's kind of a little bit amazing that it worked so well.
And I guess how you kept that momentum going, because I could see, you know, people, it's an interesting rumor, but it's also a potentially uninteresting rumor.
Right, or like incredible. Who believes that's dumb? You know, I could have gone anyway.
Yes, and Adam, I'll start, maybe you build, but I think we were meticulously planned with our sort of content distribution plan. So we started, I think it was on January sort of 21st, and we had, you know, partnered with, you know, four hero influencers, 50 to 60 sort of supporting influencers. And then we had sort of sent out those boxes, perhaps you'd seen, to hundreds of influencers. And we had a full sort of paid, we had a whole like earned media, PR, social, digital, influence, integrated rollout plan day by day. And as it was rolling out, as sort of a client and agency team, we met daily with our finger on the pulse of how the internet was reacting. Hey, do we need to make any pivots? We're supposed to drop this piece of content today. This influencer has gotten involved. Should we contract them? So there was a real element of real time listening and optimization as we are sort of gearing up to the Super Bowl. I think we did catch fire literally from day one because we went back. We actually dropped it on Reddit intentionally because that was the source of the rumor. So we wanted to start there. And we had partnered with a local sort of pharmacy and had that great piece of content where Sarah was sort of caught signing the bottles and we had paparazzi pictures. So we sort of launched three big things on the first day. And fortunately, it caught fire and then momentum picked up from there.
Yeah.
Adam, did you want to add?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say that's exactly it. And I think as far as even just figuring out, is it working? Like, imagine right now on the show, 40,000 people joined in the next 3 minutes. You'd be like, oh, wow, okay. Like, and maybe you get that all the time. So if you get that all the time, then call it 400,000. And if you get that, call it 4 million. You know, so this was like an exponential, you know, post goes live. All of a sudden, you know, it's got 3 million views within a few hours. And people are replying, you know, it says hashtag ad, but no one cares that it's an ad. They're saying, you know, they're not sure if it's real. Some are saying Sarah B should work with Michael. This is, you know, what, like, this is crazy. So just the amount of reactions we got and the level of engagement, even just looking at it from like a video view standpoint instantly. And then from a PR standpoint, it was placement after placement after placement. It was, you know, really like a snowball effect, and it was magnificent.
Yeah, what's interesting to me about this is Annie obviously knows more about it than I do. I kind of move in and out of it, but I was aware of it, and I knew what the story was. You know, it's not, I might not have known all the details about it, but it was really hard to miss because it was just everywhere, and it was an easy story to pick up on, and it was like, wait, what's going on? Like, it just was kind of like that. Is he really involved? It was just so brilliant on that sense. Annie, were you going to?
Well, so I'm curious too. I guess one of my like favorite strategies in marketing is the hostile brand strategy of when something becomes some strategy or trope becomes really popular, a brand comes in and says, you know, we are the brand for those who are sort of like tired of that or against that. That Planet Fitness is a great example of that. So is Liquid Death. What I kind of found interesting in the ad was this feeling of potentially, and I'm curious if this was intentional, part of a little bit of mocking at a lot of the celebrity created skincare and beauty brands generally. And like that has become really popular even among celebrities who, you know, really maybe have no right creating skincare and makeup brands. How much was that also intentional to sort of poke at that culture?
So it was intentional. You know, there's a lot of copycat brands, a lot of different celebrities, you know, coming out with brands, and you know, CeraVe's a brand developed with dermatologists, right? Not Michael Cera, aka celebrity, and you know, like being true to that DNA, we really wanted to show it off that you know it's the real deal, really works, clinical studies, you know, like developed with derms, really backed by science. So we wanted to really hone in on that. And Charlie and team came up with a, you know, superb plan on how we were going to deploy this message and ensure that everyone heard about it.
I mean, it's sort of an amazing example of reinforcing your brand's authenticity through like deliberate inauthenticity.
Yeah,
in the story and the campaign, but actually goes back to that idea of like, we are actually more authentically created by dermatologists and, you know, here before this celebrity tidal wave of products too.
Yeah. We had it like the plan, we had three acts of sort of the unfold. The first was really about seeding and spreading the fake news campaign and we didn't have any paid media involved. Like our voice as CeraVe was not a part of that very intentionally. And then, you know, after a week or so, we moved into the second phase where we really fought back. And that's where we brought in derm partners. That's where CeraVe started to say, listen, you know, we're developed by derms, not by Michael CeraVe, but it was all done sort of with a wink, right? Like everything had intent to make people laugh. But as we were getting into that second phase, we were also like kind of going to edutainment, right? Like, well, now that we have your attention and we're a brand developed by derms, let us educate you a little bit about skincare. And then the third act was really the culmination with the ad where it's like, it is sort of officially revealed, no, we're not developed. We sort of clear up the rumor and final the story.
What I found was so interesting is I told you before we started, I am a user of your brand, but so I have it on my bathroom counter, but I just never even, I didn't know how to pronounce the brand. I wasn't really thinking about it. I know where I bought it. In fact, my skin doctor did tell me to go buy it. So it was, it follows everything you said, but I didn't have any loyalty to it particularly. I just kind of bought it on habit and it was the brand I bought. But this is a category that is really blowing up and you're getting, you know, skin is where every skin creams and all those things, people are just really going with brand new brands and all sorts of like some of the biggest home run stories in this, in the whole wellness or beauty category is skin brands. So what was your goal? Was it to, you know, get people who are already using it to make sure they were stayed loyal to the brand, which would have been my case, or was it to bring in the new user, or did you write down that whole strategy before you planned this campaign?
And did you achieve those goals?
So yes, we wrote down all those strategies. You know, the goal was to obviously keep consumers, recruit new ones, you know, in all different shapes and forms. And then the answer, did we pull it off? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes.
Wow.
And so have you seen growth with younger consumers? That seems to me to be part of that goal of attracting the next generation of CeraVe users who will buy it habitually or loyally. Do you see growth with the younger consumer?
Yeah. And, you know, CeraVe's actually been booming with Gen Z. So there's a survey that's done twice a year by investment bank Piper Sandler, where they survey like between 9,000 and 15,000 teens. And CeraVe's been number one skincare brand with share of mind with teens, you know, for the past 2 years. So the brand has really been super strong with Gen Z, you know, really started when COVID hit, TikTok took over and CeraVe was there front and center with dermatologists. Dermatologists got really popular, you know, skincare boomed. And we were really on the cusp of something special with TikTok at the time.
So again, I just know it from my own personal use, and I bought it at CVS. So I bought it in a very unglamorous place. But if you're talking about Gen Z, I know Sephora is blowing up in Ulta and all those other things. Are you in those channels too, or what's your channel strategy?
So we're in mass market for sure.
So you're in CVS. That's what you mean. You're not at
the mass market Walmart, Target. And, you know, then there's global as well.
So what is next? Is Michael Cera now, you know, on staff part of CeraVe forever, or like how does this story continue? Is this one done? I'm sure you can't share specifics, but how do you follow this up or keep the momentum?
It's a good question. You'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a high bar to like reproduce like the success. Is that overwhelming? Does that scare you, Charlie? I mean, the notion that this was so well done and you're telling us it was very well executed. You achieved every one of your goals. I mean, you know, that's a pretty strong statement. That's a pretty high bar to repeat. What are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, as you can imagine, a lot of our other clients are calling up saying, hey, how can we get a Michael CeraVe campaign? But I do think, like, as Adam was saying, CeraVe is a very sort of modern, culture forward, social media forward brand, and they have been since the onset of the pandemic. They really led the way in terms of TikTok. So I think, like, the stars really aligned here. We had a client that was extremely modern, social forward, and to their credit, like extremely brave, right? To make this sort of leap. So, you know, certainly, of course, we hope to do more work like this. But, you know, it's really a partnership between agency and client. And I think the sort of trust and the earned first thinking was really quite special.
Yeah, if I can just add to that, because Charlie said like the brave part. So keep in mind, right, Michael isn't on social media and our whole program is about going viral on social media. So it really, you know, it's definitely an interesting leap to go, okay, our major celebrity isn't on social, but we're going to go viral with everyone else. And our actual celebrity isn't our distribution, isn't very easy.
No, I mean,
it seems to me though that sort of adds to that layer of authenticity that I was talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly,
like it's again that like authenticity through inauthenticity of like he's just really not that kind of spokesperson or celebrity,
and that's why it worked. Yeah,
pushing CeraVe later, so it feels like authentically bizarre and a little bit odd.
Yeah, and maybe it was just
also such an odd celebrity.
Exactly, and maybe it was just a perfect storm of everything coming together and in just a beautiful way, and every step of it went well. Well, we hope the next one goes as well. Charlie and Adam, thank you so much for joining us today. And where can our listeners go to follow you and everything that's going at CeraVe and find out what the next steps are and whether or not you're going to succeed?
Thank you.
Where yeah. should they go?
Yeah.
Well, they have to follow CeraVe on social media.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's where we'll hear the news for the next one. That's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank our producers, Dion Simpkins and Dana Cash. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We replay our show several times throughout the week. You can follow us on Knowledge at Wharton Podcasts, and you can also follow Business Radio at SXM Business for information about all our programming. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week. Till then, this has been Marketing Matters. I'm Barbara Kahn, here with my guest co-host, Annie Wilson, Business Radio, Sirius XM 132.